Him in the sky. I want to be more like him and do his
blessed command.
For I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land. Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is so good, and we thank him so much for being so good to us, and we thank you for being here with us today. Do you love God? I keep falling in love over, thank you, Father, over and over. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over. And he gets sweeter. Yes. 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 Oh, what a love between my God and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And he keeps blessing me over and over. Over and over and over. Will he keep blessing me over and over and over and over again? And he gets sweeter. God is good. Yes, oh, what a love between my God and I. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly an honored guest. Our elders will acknowledge you at the end of our worship service, but it's just good to be here today. Isn't the weather great? Oh, this is just lovely, isn't it? Not too cold, not too hot. If you're watching by way of television, thank you so much. We know you have so many choices to choose from on your television. Stop just a moment. Don't move. Don't go to the shopping channel this morning. Stay with us this morning and allow God to speak to you through his word. And if you have a prayer request, if you need to talk to someone, please call the number on your screen. I know you have got to be kind of close to us in our viewing audience. And if you're able to, if you can get up one Sunday morning, surprise us and come and visit us in the place. Because there's nothing like being here. Is it, church? Amen. Yeah, I know it might be good on TV, but it's better when you come here in person. God is good. This morning, the sermon topic this morning is Christians and politics. Christians and politics. I know that the conversation has been for the past couple of weeks, especially this past week. Everybody's, some folks are happy, and some folks are sad. Some folks are troubled. But what about the Christian? What about the child of God? How you feeling this morning? The child of God, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Amen, amen, somebody. Amen. Our ruler is God. And God all by himself. Citizenship is talking about your permanent residence. And see, those that are children of God recognize that we sing the song, this world is not our. We're just passing through. Yeah, we're just renting on this earth. And we're not to be overly, the scripture, it goes on to say, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. The Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought we might reiterate, and I'm going to resist commentary. I'm going to resist too much commentary because I believe the word of God speaks clearly. And don't be twisted. Don't be anxious, because sometimes they say, well, Brother, we shouldn't mix religion and politics. Well, politics is a part of religion. Even in the Old Testament, the Hebrew law, the king, the judges, it was intertwined. You couldn't separate the two because the law, the lawgivers, the judges, the kings, it was all tied together. And really, if we obey God's law, if everybody obey God's law, politics would be good, wouldn't it? Amen. It really would be good. This Philippians, as Paul was writing this letter to the Philippian church, he said, for our citizenship, first of all, you have to recognize everybody is not our. See, you have to know who the hour is. And if you went back to the first verse of the letter to the Philippians, the Bible says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, they are the preachers, the evangelists, if you will, says to all the saints, that's who the hour. And see, if you're a saint, then you recognize that you're not a citizen of this earth. And God is our ultimate judge. He's our ultimate ruler. David, as he wrote in the book of Psalms, chapter 146, verse 3, he said, Psalms 146, verse 3, he said, do not trust in princes, in mortal man, is what he says, in whom there is no salvation. Yeah, there is no salvation in no man. And that includes President Obama. Amen, somebody. He's still the president, isn't he? And I know many of us, we have our allegiances and we look for hope in men. And so pray. We will have a new president in just a little while. And his name is not Obama. And he will be our president. Some of you may not want to say it, but he's still your president. He will be your president. But the Bible still says, I don't care who's in office. Don't put your trust. And he uses the term trust because the word trust, see, trust means don't look to for, trust is to look to fulfillment of promises. You're putting all your hopes in somebody. Don't look to any mortal man to fulfill. Really, don't look to a man to fulfill any promise. And we say man is man and woman because they are but men and women. Even if they promise, wow, but I know he can fulfill. No, you don't know that at all. Because the very time you put all your trust in a man or a woman, they'll let you down. Nah, brother, but she loves me today. She loves you. Amen, somebody. Oh, we could testify the number of times somebody told, baby, I love you till you die. And they were gone next week. Amen. Amen, somebody. Reminds me of a story of a little boy who wanted $100 so bad. I read this. I don't know who wrote it, but I read it. It was so hilarious to me. He wanted $100 so bad, and he prayed for it for weeks. And he never got anything. So he said he decided to write a letter to God. And he wrote a letter, said, Lord, I really, really, really want $100 so bad. And he wrote it real nice and sweet. And the Postal Service got it. And they noticed that he addressed it to God. And so they sent it to the president. They sent the letter to the president. And the president got the letter and read the letter, saw how sweet it was, thought it was just touched him so much that he told the secretary, send this little boy $5. And he sent the boy $5, and he thought $5, little boy, that'd be a lot of money. And so the boy got the $5, and boy was so happy he got the $5, but he wrote another letter. He wrote a letter back to where the letter came from. And he wrote a letter. He says, thank you so much for my $5. I thank you so much, but God, I see that you sent it through Washington, D.C. And he say, and those devils kept $95. Woo, Lord have mercy. Boy, I tell you the truth. Yeah, that turned me a flip when I read that. Yeah, no, we don't put our trust in Washington, D.C. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, 5. The Bible says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Church, let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't raise anybody up any higher than the Lord has raised them up. even ministers of God who stand behind the pulpit and stand in lecterns and teach us. We honor each other. We love each other. But you keep your ultimate trust in God and God alone. And the prophet Jeremiah, he warned the people. He said, because sometimes we get it's over carried away. Oh, she's so good and she's so powerful and he speaks so well and she gonna do all these wonderful things. Don't put your strength in flesh. Because boy, you can get news tomorrow that you won't even be able to get up and walk tomorrow. All kinds of news. Listen to what else he says. And whose heart turns away from the Lord, for he will be like a bush that's in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony places in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. In verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its root by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Yeah, we need to put our trust in God. Amen. In God and God alone. But you know, good leadership is a blessing. Oh, it's a blessing. Make no bones about it. Good leadership in any capacity, in any organization, in the Lord's church. Good leadership is a blessing. And we have a part to play as human beings in our roles on earth. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, the God of Israel has spoken. The rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over me, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. Yeah, when you get good leaders, Lord, boy, it's really a blessing. Good leadership can bring some peace and some comfort and hope and fairness and just. And the Bible tells us that when you get a good leadership, listen to what David in Psalms 106 and 3. How blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, in your favor toward your people. Visit me with your salvation. And if you have a families, and this goes to children, wives, if you have a good man at home, if you have a good husband at home, you ought to be saying praise the Lord. Don't take a good man for granted. Amen. You didn't say that loud enough. You know, don't take a good man for granted. Boy, ain't nothing like a good man. Amen. Yeah, a good man brings some peace in a house. Yeah, ain't nothing like a good man that makes some good money. Now, yeah, I bet you amen that, won't you? Yeah. And bring it home. Yeah, a good man. If you got a man that's praying in your house, that's praying, that provides, if you have a good man that's just, you know, some men rule a man that's fair, that knows how to be tender. Ooh, Lord, that's a good man. Amen, somebody? Amen. If you have a good woman in a house. And women, mothers, and see, we have women who are married, and then we have single women who are providing leadership in the house. And you got a woman who is just, who is tender, who is kind, who treats everybody fairly in the house, who provides and takes care of things. Oh Lord, have mercy, praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody. And can cook too. Oh, excuse me, I'm just sorry. I had to throw that in there. Yeah. Yeah, when you have a boss at work, who provides strong, solid, consistent leadership, fairness, thank you, justness, who notice, it's really rare. It shouldn't be, but it brings peace. If you can go to work and the atmosphere is peaceful, that don't happen by accident. Yeah. We have someone in government that's just. You read all in the Old Testament, all the kings who the Bible said, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And this is the sad part about it. It seems like these leaders, they're in office for long periods of time, in many cases. In the Lord's church, when there is solid, strong, consistent, just leadership, does it bless the church? Yes. Oh, Lord, it blesses the church. Oh, so many horror stories of churches who members are sitting in the pews and on edge all the time, who are just anxious, come to worship and don't know what to expect. And so good leadership, Lord, it is a blessing. Lord, it's a blessing, it's a blessing, it's a blessing. And so to those who are in leadership positions, remember that you lead, but God is our ultimate leader. Remember that we all must answer to God, because evil leadership is oppressive. It is oppressive. And I'm being real about this. Evil leadership is oppressive. But how are we to respond to all of this? Listen to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. Let me say this also before I move on. See, don't be like the person who always looking for something wrong, who knows how to complain, and who takes for, see, I think that we can say, now, not because of me in any way, but I know we serve here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ. We have 10 elders, and they range in age from, from younger to older. Amen. Different personalities. But I work with these men closely, and we've been in serious, serious conversations all the time. And you know, it's amazing how you work with people and you recognize that all of you still got flaws. Amen. And if I asked the elders to stand up in here right now, I think that all of them, along with me, will be willing to say, we have some areas that we need to work on. You know, you don't believe me? The elders is in here right now. Stand up. The elder, I can't even see who's in here. The elders is in here right now. Stand up. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 elders is in. 6 is in here right now. Now, don't stay. Don't sit out there. I know you're old, but don't sit down. I know you're retired. He's retired. But to all the elders here right now, do we have some things we need to work on? Would you agree? But I will attest, I can see. Now, you know, if we wasn't getting along or if I was lying, you see, let me say this to you. But these are all men who love God. Every one of them love God. And let me say this also. They love this church. We have different ways, methods. We make mistakes sometimes. You know, we don't do everything just right. And I'm saying this for the sake of everybody in here, because I know some of you say, well, I don't know about Brother so-and-so. I don't know about Brother so-and-so. Well, I'm just saying that they love God. They love this church. And they have, I believe, the well-being of every member at this church at heart. Now, I'm saying that in public now because I'm to the church, don't take good leadership for granted. Don't take it for granted. Because you know, there, things could be a whole lot worse here. And there has been a time that I couldn't stand up and say this.
Amen.
With everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Church, thank you, elders. Appreciate you standing up. Thank you very much. You don't have to clap for them, but just say amen, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because evil leadership is oppressive. It oppresses everything. Poor leadership in your home. Is oppressive. Bad atmosphere. Anxiety. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. And but when a wicked man rules, the Bible says, people groan. That's why we take our time. You need to take your time, sisters, picking a man that's going to be your ruler. Because that's what that's what the Bible says, for you to be subject to that man that you marry. So you need to take your time and don't say after you marry him, he not the one I want to be subject to. If you picked him, brothers, the same goes for you.
Yes, sir.
Same goes for you. Yeah. Because when it comes to politics, see, the Bible tells us to be subject to the scripture says, obey your elders. Specifically, obey your elders. Because, see, listen, they have been appointed by God, and they are endorsed by God. And Scripture says, "Obey your leaders." And see, Christians are not to be lawbreakers. Or not to be lawbreaker. It's sad. You know, I know the election has come and a lot of people, you know, protesting it. But, you know, to see some folks, you know, tearing up stuff. Burning up stuff. That's not the, I hope none of you. Did you see me? I didn't see who, whatever. I hope. Let me not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. I want to do this because I want to finish at 9 o'clock. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Is that in your Bible? And I know I don't want to take this out of context, but I want to read it all and I want to make a statement. Whether to a king as one who is in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is to the saints. This is to the Christian. Our response is not to be a rebellious act of breaking the law. Because ultimately, you're not obeying the policemen. You're not just obeying the governors. You're not just obeying the mayor. You're just not just obeying the Congress or the Senate. You're not just obeying the president. You are obeying who? Oh, brother, I don't like that because I don't like that man. Please don't tell a policeman that when he stops you. As a Christian. Because it is the will of God that by our behavior, the way we act, we don't want to have people saying, look at how those Christians, look at how they're behaving. We want by our good behavior for people to see that we got some sense and we got God in us. And God gets all the glory. For all that we do, act as free men, the scripture says, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, even if you don't like him. Oh, you didn't want to hear that this morning, did you? Yeah. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? He says, honor the king. Even, and so brother, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Well, if you don't like something in politics, run for office. Amen, somebody. Isn't that right, Brother Jamel? Run for office. Run for mayor. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, be quiet and obey the law. Brother Darryl Jordan, now judge. Darryl Jordan, member of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, judge of Harris County Court Number 16. Don't you go in there unless you're visiting. Amen. Somebody. Yeah. A brother in Christ. We need more brothers and sisters in Christ in positions of leadership and influence. And, you know, Sister Hazel Jones. What position is Sister Hazel Jones? She's in state district judge. Sister Hazel Jones. Brother Ted Poe, senator. Brother Ted Poe, senator. Please don't go. Well, he's not in court anymore. Please don't go to his court because he will throw the book at you. He used to do that. Yeah. Don't go burning up stores and cursing everybody out and getting on television interview and you saying, oh yeah, I hate all of them. Not as a Christian, not as a child of God. That's not how Christians act. Amen, church. Amen. Oh, okay. We need to do something. We need to do something. We need to live right. We need to act right. And I hope you, and I surely you're not saying nothing if you didn't go vote yourself. Amen, somebody. If you didn't vote, we don't even want to talk to you. We don't even want to hear from you. Amen, somebody. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to end on time this morning. You all right? I'm smiling. I'm okay. Every person. See this? Listen, every person. This is to the Roman Christians, but it's to all of us. It's to be in subjection to the governing authorities. And our young people especially need to hear this. Because, you know, some of us sometimes we act uninformed. You know, we just doing something because somebody else doing it. You hollering and screaming, don't even know what you're hollering and screaming about. He says to the governor, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Notice this, believe it or not, if God didn't want Donald Trump to be our president, he wouldn't have been. Let me say this also, perspective. This is just perspective. See, that, you see, notice how the scripture said, don't put your trust in man. Yeah, right. Don't put your trust in no man. Because, see, listen, President Obama has been president now for 8 years, and he has been a blessing to many. But everything President Obama did wasn't right in the sight of God. Right. Amen, somebody. Amen. And sometimes we don't like to admit this. That's why you don't put all your trust in no man. Because some of these men and women get in position and they are not looking out for the glory of God. They're looking out for the glory either of their pockets or somebody, some special interest group. Listen to what the scripture says in verse number 2. And therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is the minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on one who practices. And I know some of us have in our minds, what about all these policemen? What about all these people that's killing these folks and killing some innocent men and innocent women? And Lord have mercy, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know this, reality in life, you always have some bad apples in everything. What do you mean, Brother Gary? In your family, don't you have some bad apples? They still your kinfolk. Amen, somebody. And I personally know several law enforcement men and women. Many of you know, we have several who are members of this body. Amen. And listen, literally almost without exception, every one of them, I think of their names and I think of their character, and I would want them to go to bat for me any day. Amen. And it's sad when one or two get out there and act like the devil. Do things that put people in harm's way, and we live in a real society where there's sin, and we know that evil persists. But that still does not give you the right. That still does not give us the okay to rebel in such a way that will bring shame on God's name. And if we're going to protest, if we're going to have our, and I'm not saying for us to be silent on things that are against the law, but we need to do it in a lawful, we need to do it in a Christ-like spirit. And because we don't want to turn our liberties into something that's going to bring evil. He says, because of this, he says, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the conscience sake. Then he goes on to say this, for because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing, render to all what is due to them, tax what whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Yeah, Christians and politics. You know, one thing is needed. One thing is definitely needed. It's a whole lot of prayer. Amen. Whole lot of prayer. Yeah, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, first of all, then, I urge you that entreaties, prayers, all of this is in the realm of prayers and communication, entreaties, begging, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil, quiet. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for because really, you know, I'll tell you what, I probably the thing that I in President Obama's era as president in the past 8 years. I remember when he took over the country. You remember this when he took over the country? All the banks were almost going bankrupt. And that was having an effect on a lot on the economy, you know, a lot of anxiety. And I tell you what, he and his administration smoothed that thing out and made that go away. And I seem like people just forgot that. And they don't give him credit. They don't say anything about it. I mean, it was in a raid. A country was in total raid. And I think that was wonderful that he was able to devise a plan that kind of caused the panic to go down and things. The economy got back in line. I really appreciate it. You know what else I appreciate? People be talking about Obamacare, but I tell you what, I like Obamacare. I mean, I you know what? If you look at the record, you see that most people, the people that's using it, a lot of them are not us anyway, taking advantage of it. But you know what? I think about Obamacare. And my daughter, you know, my oldest daughter, she has a lot of health issues that she's with, and you know, we couldn't keep on our insurance after she got a certain age and we got in Obamacare. And if it wasn't for Obamacare, Lord have mercy, we'd be in the poor house. And I thank God for us. So they say he's going to do away with it. I wonder what they're going to replace it with. And I have some concern about that. But you know what? We're going to trust in who? We're going to trust in God. And so, you know what we need to do? We need to pray for all of it. We need to pray for President-elect Trump. We need to pray for. Can the church say amen? We need to pray for him. I hope you're not. We don't. Christians don't harbor hate in their heart for nobody. No. And one of the reasons why I just decided to kind of change my sermon, because some of the conversations you hear when you're around, and folks just get, they are hyped up. And I know it, you know, but you've been around a little while. Some of us is older. It's amazing. I'm saying I'm getting older. But there's a whole lot of things have gone on that haven't been right. And don't you let that stuff get your blood pressure up. Because you can't do nothing about it right now. Amen, somebody. And we say, I don't know what the world gonna come to. You go to work, save your money. Pay your bills. That's what you need to do. And live right. And don't burn up nothing. And stop worrying. Yeah. President Obama haven't visited the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, has he? And we all right, aren't we? Amen, somebody. But we need to pray for all the governors, the senators, the congressmen, those that are in local government. We pray that we have a peaceful state. One thing, Christian saints, we can be assured of is God is not asleep.
Amen.
That's why I'm like, hey, you know, he may not have been my choice, but I know God is not asleep. He looked, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21, assuredly. And I'm not calling him necessarily evil. I'm just reading the Bible. The evil man will not go unpunished. That's what the Bible says. But the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. See, what we need to be concentrating is keeping God on our side. In any instance, and no, this is not just for politics. This is for every area, every circumstance, every organization, every place you go. It's the same. God sees all things. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, that was read in your hearing as our scripture renewal ended this. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Everybody say righteous. Sisters, fret not. You're in a situation somebody has leaning on you. You trust in God. You're trusting God. Don't take matters in your own hands to do something. See, sometimes we get so mad that we think of vindictive things. I say, I'm going to get her. I'm going to do it. And we devise evil. We devise evil trying to get back at them. And then we get out of favor with God ourselves. Because, see, God knows all. God knows the motivation why people do evil. Yes, some of you would be evil. There's not a word eviler. Some of you would be meaner had you come up in some of the same circumstances that others have come up in. I know not all. I'm not making an excuse for anybody. But God sees and knows. He judges righteously. And he says, his eyes, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. You make sure that you stay on the righteous side of God. Amen. You make sure when you come, see, in the home, as parents, as husbands, as wives, see, sometimes a person can do obvious evil and you call them evil. And some people have sly evil. Amen. See, some people do evil. Some people make their wives go out and get in a relationship because of the way they are treating them themselves. And the wife go out and do it, and you say, oh, she's evil. No, you evil too. Well, girl, you talking about somebody in here? I don't know. But what the Bible says, God sees and knows all. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows the public and the private. That's why we can't judge. That's why we can't be the one who says, who calls the shots. And he says, and his ears attend to their prayer. He hears you. And make make sure you are being righteous. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. James Brown used to sing a song, The Big Payback. Youngsters don't know that song. Yeah. One day it's going to be a big payback. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah. But I just hope that we as Christians would exemplify Christ in all aspects of our lives. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for us. God's not going to leave us out here by ourselves. Don't fret, Christians. Life is going to go on. And God's going to bless us. If we do what's right in his eyesight, he's going to take care of us. Sometimes God may not move like we want him to move. He's slow to anger. You know, God is slow to wrath. And I thank God he's slow to wrath, not just for the evil man. I thank it for me. Amen. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be a Christian. You need to be a believer this morning. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If you've heard his word this morning, and if you believe it with all your heart, the Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to those who believe, to the believers, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you believe that Jesus Christ, it is the Son of the living God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, if you're willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, to confess Christ with your mouth what your heart believes, and God will add you to his body, to his church, you'll be called a saint, a believer. Yes, and the blood of Jesus Christ which cleanses us from all of our sins. And if we stay faithful unto death, he'll give us a crown of life, a crown that will fade not away. And as our citizenship is not of this earth, we secure our citizenship in heaven, where God rules and reigns now and forevermore. And you want to be added to the body of Christ, you can do that by coming. If you're here today and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If here you want to get something right, won't you do it as we stand and sing?
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you now the invitation,
prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, careless soul,
heed thy warning. For your life
will soon be gone. Oh, yes, your life will soon be gone. Oh, I
said,
to face the judgment,
to face the judgment,
to face the judgment.
Unprepared
to meet thy God, to meet thy God.
Why so thoughtless are you standing?
While the fleeting years go by
and your life is spending folly,
prepare to meet thy God.
Careless soul,
careless soul,
oh, heed thy warning.
Heed the warning,
for your life
will soon be gone. Oh, yes, your life will soon be gone.
Oh, I said,
to face the judgment,
to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God.